Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make myself start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your arsenal for any of your voices. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. This one is going to go down in history. We're putting it in the books right now because we're going to have today from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated and Sunday Night in America and lots of other stuff, Peter King. That's right, Peter King will be joining us. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined right now by two of the greatest fantasy analysts on the planet, Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, how are you?
Yeah, doing great.
All right. Hey, what's up?
So, guys, let's get into a little bit of baseball talk before we get Peter on the line to join us. So let's get right into it. One guy we haven't discussed a lot about this year is Cargo Gonzalez. But he has been 1 and 1A with Josh Hamilton. Is it possible, Rudy, to argue that he's actually underrated as a fantasy baseball star?
It's possible to argue anything.
Fair.
But yeah, it's, you know, he's putting together another season that's very similar to the one he had 2 years ago, where he has just a extremely high batting average of balls in play. And puts up great power numbers and speed numbers. I think he really wasn't talked about as like a top four, top five pick coming into the year. Braun and Kemp definitely were ahead of him in the outfielder ratings, and I think Jose Bautista, you could say, was ahead of him as well, as if you count him as an outfielder. Yeah, I think I don't think he's a 330 hitter. I think he's more of a 300 hitter with, you know, basically Coors helping out because it's such a big field, so you get a few more hits there. But he's still stealing, so I see him as a 300, 30 plus homer, 20 stolen base guy. There's not a lot of those guys out there. So, yeah, I think he probably should have been a top five pick and was more kind of a bottom part of the first round pick.
Anything to add on that, Gray?
No, I think that covers just about everything. I think he also runs the injury risk like Hamilton, but if he stays healthy, he's probably far more valuable than Hamilton because of the steals, yet I think Hamilton probably has better name recognition. So, yeah, I think maybe he's a hair underrated, Cargo. I mean, I don't think you're stealing him anywhere, but, yeah.
All right. Now, I didn't know if you were with us, Gray, because I know that, again, you were in the Cougars den.
Yeah, correct? I'm in Mother Cougars.
All right, so let me ask you another question, guys. Which of Carlos Beltran, David Ortiz, and Melky Cabrera, three guys having big years, which one of them are most likely to have the bottom drop out and return to mediocrity? I'll throw that over to you first, Rudy.
I'd probably go with, well, I don't know if I'd say mediocrity, but Beltran's the one that would probably concern me the most. Ortiz just seems to be a different animal. I mean, I thought he was out 2-3 years ago. At this point, he keeps performing. It's hard to bet against him. And Melky's got youth on his side, and it's been, you know, it's hard to call it a fluke now. It's been a year and a half straight. He's just been, you know, hitting extremely well, not striking out, hitting a lot of line drives. Beltran, I'd just be worried about health and that, you know, he's I mean, he's flashed more power than he's shown really in the recent past. I could see Beltran just putting together a nice second half, but one that's kind of more of a 20 homer, 10 stolen base, 270 hitter, which would definitely be a pretty big drop off from his first half.
What about you, Gray?
Yeah, I agree again. I don't trust Beltran just because of health reasons. I think Melky, at least he has youth on his side. He's 27. Ortiz, he can just, you know, he doesn't have to play the field, so he can just go out and slug, literally. And Beltran, he tweaks something, and you might get him day-to-day for a month where he doesn't have the power, and he's also, is right now, his home run fly ball rate is out of control, about 10% higher than his career rate. I would be most worried about Beltran.
All right, so fair enough. So you guys are on the same page. Great, let me ask you another question. This guy had a lot of hype coming up through the minors. He was considered a top pitching prospect, and then he just kind of, you know, we forgot about him because he got traded to Pittsburgh and didn't pitch very well. But has James McDonald finally arrived?
Yeah, I think before he had an ugly walk rate, and he's got that in check now. For a while, like you said, I mean, he had the potential, and now he's finally realizing it. He's not a 2.5 ERA pitcher as he is right now, but he's around a 3.5 guy with an over 8 K rate, which is, you know, it's not bad at all. I'll buy that for a dollar meal at McDonald's.
Yeah, well, I feel like I still have that worry that he's like Ian Snell Jr. that there's something about Pittsburgh where it's just, you can't really have sustained success. Like one year, Oliver Perez has that like amazing like 250 strikeout year. The next, they have to sell him for like 20 cents on the dollar to the Mets.
Why can't the Pirates have anything nice?
They have McCutcheon.
Oh yeah, the Dread Pirate. Well,
and they draft pitchers in the first like 3-4 picks of the draft, and they turn into Chris Benson and Brad Lincoln.
Who's the I think James Tallion or something? Is that
James Tallion?
Tallion, yeah, he's supposed to be
Jameson.
Jameson.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it Jameson, like the whiskey?
Yep.
Or is it Scotch? I don't know.
Scotch is a type of whiskey.
It sounds like I'm always drunk, I actually don't really.
He's been, Tyon's been doing well in the minors. They've just been really limiting his innings. Same thing with Garrett Cole.
Oh, okay. We should have the prospect guy on sometime. Talk about that stuff.
Well, that's a good idea.
Hey, all right. Okay.
So, yeah, McDonald looks good. I think, you know, this year it seems like Pittsburgh's definitely charmed on the pitching front. I mean, it's never been a good, it's always been more of a pitcher's park. The biggest thing I think with McDonald is that he's been throwing the sliders. That he just started flashing the slider when he was in Pittsburgh. He'd really been more of a fastball curve guy, and a bit of changeup. So there, you could make this argument that he's basically found that second pitch or third pitch to round him out. Let's just say I'd be drafting him next year as a third or fourth starter, where he is today. What's that?
He's rounding out the arches.
That's nice.
All right, gentlemen, let's do this. Dun, dun, dun. We got more baseball to get to, but let's see if we can get Peter King on the phone, because I know that we're dying to talk to Peter King, and we're probably the only people in the world that don't want to talk to him about football. So here we go. Let's get Peter King on the line. All right, here we go. We have Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, Sunday Night Football, and of course, famous Ohio University alumnus. And we're also still in the line with Rudy and Gray. Peter, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Great to be on with you. I'm a great fan of baseball.
You know, Peter, we're probably the only people in the world that don't want to talk to you about football.
I'm pleased about that because I'm on vacation. So we'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
Well, I'm glad you said that because we actually want to talk about cricket. No, I'm kidding. Rudy, why don't you kick us off here?
Okay. Hey, Peter. So,
The first question is, you know, I read your Monday Morning Quarterback column every week and read it to the end, so I know about your love of coffee and beer. What I want to know is, are you drinking enough water? Because we don't want you to, they're dehydrating beverages. We don't want you to cramp up during this interview.
Yeah, well, I'm actually this off season doing some running. So I understand the water and G2 and things like that. So probably during the season, I'm a ridiculous coffeeaholic just to keep things going. But I've tried to run a little bit. Probably going to run a half marathon in the fall. And so, yeah, I'm learning what it's like to actually drink something that isn't coffee or beer.
Do they have a coffee-flavored water out there yet?
No, they don't, but I'm going to I'll campaign for it if I could. Plus, not only coffee-flavored water, but if it had the caffeine in there, that would help, too.
I've seen
Do you have one of those Keurig machines?
Yeah, I do, but I usually, you know, my wife and I brew a pot of coffee in the morning like normal people, and...
Regular old
Italian roast. So that's what we usually have every day.
Keurig doesn't pay me for this info, but I'm a huge fan. Oh my god, I have like four cups of those things a day.
That stuff is good. Those single pod things. That was a great invention. Whoever thought of it. Mr. Keurig.
So a lot of our audience probably doesn't know this, but you actually play fantasy baseball.
Yeah. My team, I used to live in Montclair, New Jersey, and my team is the Montclair Pedroias because I'm a great admirer of Dustin Pedroia. However, last week, at least temporarily, I changed my name to Clown Question Bro. and I've risen into second place. And by the way, I have to say, I've occasionally direct messaged Gray on Twitter asking him for trade advice. So he's one of the reasons why I'm in second place in my league.
If you were asking Rudy, you'd be in first place. Even though you're our guest, I think I should share a quick story. So it was Memorial Day weekend, and I had a friend in from Texas, and we were out at we were by the beach. We were like Santa Monica, Venice area, and so Peter King he messaged me over Twitter about this trade. And right as I got the trade, I was about to do a shot of tequila. So I'm like, hold on. So I put my phone down for a second. I do the shot of tequila. I get the worst gas face ever. And it's like, I don't think it was good tequila. I'm almost positive it was not. And then I pick up my phone. I'm like, hey. I say to my friend, I was like, hey, you know the writer, the football writer for Sports Illustrated, he wants to know about some trade advice.
And what did you tell him?
We did a little group think on your trade. I think it was pretty good in your favor. You went with it, right?
I forgot what it was. Was it Canerco and Frieri for I traded Adrian Gonzalez, which broke my heart because I like him, but I just, you know, I got to have a little more power out of first base. And I ended up trading Gonzalez and I'm trying to think. I forget who, but not a big person, like a backup pitcher.
Wasn't it the Posey? I think Posey was involved in that trade.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you advised me not to trade Buster Posey because I had a chance to get Strasburg and Avila.
Oh, that's right.
For Posey and somebody else. And I've had some regrets about that because Strasburg has pitched so well, but if the Nationals are true to their word, and I have no idea if they will be, then he's probably not going to pitch in September. And I don't know how in the world you're going to sell that to your fans to cut Steven Strasburg off on Labor Day when you're in a pennant race. How do you sell that to your fans?
I think you have to concoct an injury in Washington.
Yeah. I think you need to concoct an injury for Strasburg sometime in August. Would be either that,
or he's going to have a bunch of 5 1/3 appearances in the next month or so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
yeah. So are there a lot of bitter rivalries in the Montclair Fantasy Baseball League? Is this a league that goes back ages?
I've been in this league, I don't know, 12, 13 years. I've only won it once. I usually, because I'm an impatient owner. And, I mean, if you had ever told me that after 10 weeks of this season, I would have traded Adrian Gonzalez, I'd have told you you were nuts. Right. But, you know, I'm also a pragmatic owner. And if somebody basically offers me, I had a desperate need in the bullpen, and if somebody is going to offer me Frieri and Canerco, in essence, for Adrian Gonzalez, because he's going to keep Adrian Gonzalez for the next 10 years, which is part of this deal, I still have to do it. I'm trying to win it this year.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. But I usually fall out of it because I'm a knee-jerk guy, and that's not always good in this league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, especially not in the keeper league. I think also a lot of people's big mistake is, I'm playing for next year. It's like, it's April. You have no idea what's going to go on. You should be trying to win this year and then think about next year, you know, in the middle of the season or something if you're out of it.
What I've always done is if I'm in, you know, 8th or 9th place by August 1st, what I then try to do is make trades for the best two or three you know, keepers I can for the following year. And then, you know, I play out the year. I'm never dead last. But I always feel like I want to win it this year. And if I ever have a chance, I'm going to move heaven and earth to try to win it this year, which is what I'm doing right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's a great sort of... It's a great thing for me because I can't tell you how many times, you know, in September or August of the last few years when I'm totally knee-deep in football and I should be concentrating 12, 13 hours a day on football, where I'll take 15 minutes and I'll just be looking up, oh my God, look at Mark Pryor in Pawtucket. And when I grew up in Connecticut, and my father was a huge baseball fan above all else. And so when your father's a huge baseball fan, you become a huge baseball fan. And so this is a great way for me to be involved and not have to worry about going to 162 games a year.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we'll do for you going forward, Peter. When you start the training camp tour for Sports Illustrated, you just give us your team, and we'll land it gently for you and get you to the top.
Oh, that's good. You'll manage it for me. I love
that. That's our consulting service.
That is really a great offer. I'll have to rename the team the Montclair Razzballs.
No, actually, I'm out of Toronto. I was the guy who asked Bryce Harper the question that got the clown question response. So.
How great is that? How great was that answer? The clown question, bro.
I would have asked him if you liked Tim Horton's coffee. I mean, that would have been the extent of my questions.
Oh, that was just outstanding.
Rudy, did you have a question?
Yeah. So, Peter, I mean, I can imagine that you're just knee-deep or neck-deep in football for so much. And I take it you don't play fantasy football, do you?
No.
Now, have you ever thought of doing like a strangers on a train agreement where a baseball beat writer gives you all the tips and you give them football tips for fantasy football? So there's no conflict of interest?
I'd be happy to do that. In fact, what I've done a few times, you know, like, and this is because fantasy football has gotten so big over the last few years.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt, but I just thought of something. We put a mustache on Peter, and he writes for our fantasy football side of Razzball.
Beautiful. Beautiful thing. Just what I need, another job.
All right,
but what happens a lot is, like, I'll go to a dinner somewhere, and there'll be an auction or something, and I will say to somebody, I'll offer somebody the ability to auction me off, and I'll help some guy in his fantasy draft. And I've done that, I'd say, 4 or 5 times. And I mean, look, if I had to tell somebody what to do today, I would say, you know, you really need to take Jaquizz Rodgers higher than you would think. You need to take Devon Bess higher than you think. I'd give them advice like that. But a lot of fantasy football, because there really aren't a lot of secrets, a lot of fantasy football really can't be told until really like late August, when coaches see their teams and start to really know what they're going to do and all the various permutations. So that's become, I mean, I was in Boston a couple of years ago, and I auctioned one of these things off, and it made $2,800, where I helped a guy draft his fantasy football team after going on the road to all these training camps. And I have no idea whether that was the year that I told everybody, this was two and a half years ago, and I told everybody, listen, everyone's going to laugh at you, but I want you to take, if you have a low first round pick, I want you to take Arian Foster. And everybody just said, that's ridiculous. And then Arian Foster went out and just, he just totally exploded. But
yeah.
I knew what Gary Kubiak thought of Arian Foster and exactly what his plan was. And, you know, if you're running back for Gary Kubiak or Mike Shanahan,
you got an offensive line.
It doesn't matter what your resume says. If you're a one-cut, get-up-field running back and you have a couple of good games early, you're going to gain 1,600 yards, because that's the way those guys work.
Peter, you covered the Cincinnati Reds earlier in your career. When you started in the business, did you have a preference on what sports you wanted to cover, or was there always the thought that you wanted to get involved in football?
Now, I really would have rather covered baseball, but a couple of interesting things happened. When I was at the Cincinnati Enquirer earlier in my career, it was my first job, really, out of college after some internships. But the four guys who covered baseball in Cincinnati when I was there, three of them were divorced. And I was recently married, and my wife and I were planning to start a family. And there were two things going on. Number one, I just love going to baseball games and drinking a beer in the stands. That's number one. And number two, I thought that football, which I also love, was so much more of a humane life, and I would have a chance to stay married for 30 years if I chose football. And, you know, honestly, this is a much better arrangement, because I'll be in Fenway Park Thursday night watching the Red Sox, and I'll love it. Whereas if I was actually covering the Red Sox, covering some other team, I don't think I'd love baseball as much. I really don't. I'd probably kind of wish in some ways that I could be the guy sitting out in the stands having a beer just watching the game and keeping score.
It's just funny that you say that, you know, being a football writer is kind of more humane. You have a better kind of lifestyle, because it's kind of like the opposite from the player perspective. At the football players, you have that kind of shorter career.
Yeah, that's right. But in you know, in football, even though it has become a totally obsessive sport to cover, you know, as witnessed this offseason, when this is my 24th year at Sports Illustrated, I've never had as many bylines between the Super Bowl and my vacation as I have had this year.
Well, concussions
because
and bounty
the offseason, yeah, the Saints thing, Peyton Manning, you know, Mario Williams, free agency on fire, the draft being so weird, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III. I mean, it's just been a totally, you know, news nutty off season. But I still think that, I mean, this, I really think I have the best of both worlds. I cover a sport that I really enjoy, and then I get to go to a lot of baseball games, which I really enjoy too, and I don't have to worry about covering it. I can just sit there and enjoy it.
Great. Did you have one last question for Peter?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to try and wrap this up with, if I don't know, maybe some of our listeners are sports writers of tomorrow. What advice would you give them?
I'd say two things. Number one, especially in high school and college, and I was lucky. I knew what I wanted to do in fifth grade. I knew I wanted to be a writer, and so I practiced writing. And although our high school newspaper wasn't anything special, I still wrote a lot in high school. I wrote for the community newspaper. When I got to college, I started writing almost right away. And I would just say two things. Number one, write every day, even if it's not being published. Write to practice. Take sports writers who you really like and, you know, read them and try to be like them. That's what I used to do.
One exception to stand out, don't write like Gray. We've gotten submissions to try to write like Gray.
No. I want you to write like Gray because every time I read Gray, I howl like a hyena. and the other thing is, I think that it's so important for kids push themselves away from the computer and read books. You know, there's two, I mean, one of the reasons that I try to talk about books in my Monday Morning Quarterback column is that I'm just I'm a huge believer that we simply do not read enough. And, you know, and I'm guilty of that as well. But I just think that we've lost love of reading, other than reading in short snippets and reading newspaper stories. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that there's so many valuable things to just sit down and read that that just too many people don't. And especially kids who seem to be tied to computers and that I really think the kids need to write a lot more. I think kids need to read a lot more. And if they do, when they're 22 years old, rather than saying, what am I going to do, they're going to then have a choice of what to do.
Well, that's a great perspective on it. Although I'll tell you, you know what I do every Monday at lunch is I sit down, I print out Monday Morning Quarterback, and that's pretty much the extent of my reading.
You print it out. That's going to like use up like a whole tree.
I put it in a three-ring binder, so this way it feels like I'm reading a book.
Well, I got some terrible news, guys. We didn't get to say goodbye to Peter because we just lost him on the line.
Oh, no. Peter, come back.
Well, let's just take a moment and bask in the post-Peter King glow right here. So again, our thanks to Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback. And we lost him on the phone. We just gave him a quick call back to say thank you. And he said, David Wilson from the New York Giants.
Actually, sweet.
There you go.
I'm a Giant fan. I was going to ask him about him, but I didn't want to. I felt I was going to. It would be. We said we weren't going to talk football.
It's like insider information. You're like, blue stars, God, please.
From the mouth of God. Anyway, listen, a couple more quick baseball questions, guys, that I just want to ask, and then we'll wrap this up because I am still kind of basking in, really, in the Peter King glow here. Is Alejandro Diaz officially a fantasy star? And I ask that because his numbers, now he's done it in a, you know, a longer stretch than Mike Trout, but his numbers are very similar to Mike Trout. Seriously, if you have a look, they are. So now he's a bit older. He's 28 years old.
Don't compare him to Mike Trout ever. How dare you?
That's a clown analogy, bro.
Trout's like a young Ty Cobb with power.
Okay.
And less surliness.
Yeah. Trout is, he's like Babe Ruth with for speed.
Trout goes spikes down when he slides.
Trout's like a less prone to sin, shoeless Joe Jackson.
I was just comparing the numbers, but okay. Let me take that back.
He had 20 more games than Trout.
Yeah.
Okay. So just okay. I'm sorry I brought up Mike Trout. Let's just assess Diaza. How do we feel
maybe
about
like
Diaza?
A poor man's Trout, like a tilapia.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd call him a tilapia. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Even, Alejandro Tilapia sounds like a fine name.
All right. What do you think about him, Gray?
I think he's a good, just under 10 homer, 25 steals-ish guy. He's like, you know, maybe third outfielder. Yeah, he's like a third outfielder. He's good, definitely. I don't see any huge upside. I resent the Mike Trout comparison.
Okay, but he's on. And let me just make the argument here, Pete and Rudy. Then you can also shut me down. But you know, he hits 300. He did it last year too. He's on pace for like 110 runs, 15 homers, you know, 70 RBIs, and you know, 45-50 steals.
You're not getting 70 RBIs. Come on. It's ridiculous. Okay. He's not getting close to 70 RBIs.
Okay, give me the other three categories. 300, 110 runs, 50 steals.
110 runs, maybe. 8 to 10 homers and 25 steals. I mean, that was Victorino in his prime. He's valuable for sure. Right. Okay, he's a second to third outfielder, not a fourth, not a third to fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with Diaza, I mean, because he had been kind of a quad A player for a while. I think he had a tough time breaking into the Marlins. I think he had some injuries there. Maybe he had like 1 year where he got to play a bit and then lost his job. He's been great with the White Sox ever since they brought him up when Rios was struggling last year. The thing with him, his batting average and balls in play is ridiculous. I mean, it's probably been like 380 or so since he's been called up. And if he could, and so that just seems tough to maintain. So I think he will level off as more of a 270, 280 hitter. But yeah, 10 homers, 25 steals. I feel like could be pretty similar to Denard Span.
Call him Victorino.
Yeah, I like Victorino better than Span.
No, Victorino's got 15 to 20 homer power. I think Diaz's maybe
20,
more
he's pushing
like 10.
It. He's more like 12.
He went
to 20. 16.
No, didn't Victorino go like 20 last year?
All right, so he's not a flying Hawaiian. He's more like a flying Alaskan.
But I mean, he's definitely been, you know, we should have pumped him up more.
All right, listen,
we didn't do enough.
Last question, because I got to get out of here because I got to go make a trade in my dynasty for David Wilson before the podcast comes up. If you need to win one game tomorrow, you start Matt Cain or R.A. Dickey, Rudy?
I'm having the other team start like Luke Hochevar or Zach Stewart. Now I'm going Dickey. It's two consecutive one hitters. He's throwing 80. He's at an 83 mile per hour knuckleball. That's not fair. It's like when I had to face this guy who threw like 70 mile per hour wiffle balls in a local tournament in my youth. You can't hit it.
Let it go, Rudy.
I could have been somebody.
Matt Cain or R.A. Dickey? Hands down, Dickey.
Really?
Well, where are your hands down?
I'm setting people up. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So thanks, guys, for another fantastic edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. And a very special thanks to Peter King. You know, even if you're not a football fan, he is a phenomenal writer. He's got a bunch of sports books out. And his Monday Morning Quarterback, it's a football-heavy column, obviously, but it's always one of the best reads of the week. I know Rudy's a regular reader, so I'm sure he can back me up on that.
I back you up.
But thanks again. And that's it for this week, guys. We'll be back next week with another fantastic edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.